At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 5 of Bronze Bears, a special Second City Gridiron podcast series taking a look at the 2024 Pro Football Hall of Fame class that features the inclusion of 3 Chicago Bears. My name is Jeff Berkus, and in this series, we have done an episode on Steve McMichael, Devin Hester, and Julius Peppers, the 3 Chicago Bears that are going in. Episode 4 had a conversation about the rest of the class and then started an exercise where we were predicting the next couple of classes. This episode will continue that conversation and predict the final 3 that we can predict out. So there'll be a total of 5 classes that we're predicting. It was just such a long conversation and such a good conversation. I didn't want to cut a lot of it out. And so I cut it into 2 episodes. This is one of those cases where if this is the first one you're listening to, you're really going to want to stop and go back to the start, either episode 1 or for sure listen to episode 4 before 5. Like these two are definitely connected. So I won't waste a lot of time. It's the same players. We've got Jack Silverstein. We've got Kirk Buckner. We've got Paul Lawrence, Hall of Fame experts, and me mixing it up, talking about who we predict or want to see in the next few Hall of Fame classes. So without further delay, let's get into that conversation. All right, we're moving on to the class of 2027. In this class, again, everybody that we have not selected that we talked about earlier is going to move forward and be eligible. But oh boy, this class. This has some first-year eligible candidates that are incredibly impressive. So Antonio Brown, yes, he's maybe lost his mind, but he is going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2027. Richard Sherman, Rob Gronkowski, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Whitworth, interesting name, and a right tackle candidate, Mitchell Schwartz, that I think should start to get at least a little bit of conversation about what he was able to do from the right tackle spot. Some other names that are at least kind of interesting that, again, maybe splashed on a banner as first-year eligible players, Eric Weddle, Alex Mack, Le'Veon Bell, Gerald McCoy, Cam Newton, Jimmy Graham. A name I did not mention, because this is the name that I'm going to put in as consensus for us, that everybody agrees that he is the first ballot Hall of Famer, is Adrian Peterson, and not the Adrian Peterson that played for the Chicago Bears. He's Hall of Fame in Chicago Bears fans' hearts, but the guy that terrorized the Chicago Bears in purple, Adrian Peterson, incredible running back in a time where, it's going to be hard for running backs to gain that notoriety to maybe get into the Hall of Fame. But this is just a guy that had an incredible career. I don't think there's any real doubt. There are other names that I probably could have chosen here, but to me, he seems like just such an obvious choice at a position that may not get that obvious buy-in early on. And so we're going to put Adrian Peterson in as a group, and then we're going to move on to Kirk, who's going to kick us off with the number 2 selection. So is there another first ballot Hall of Famer in this group, Kirk?
Yes.
And if so, who is it?
Yes, it is, and it's Rob Gronkowski.
And why?
Rob, another member of the 100th anniversary team, very clutch, one, incredible blocker, first team multiple times, and really just the whole package and everything that he did. We're seeing a lot more tight ends who were actually more wide receivers. This was a tight end who could catch, who could barrel down, do everything, won titles, came out of retirement, did it again. there's nothing bad you can say about him other than maybe I don't want to go to a frat party with him. But other than that, I just have absolutely love the guy. He would have been probably first ballot even if he didn't come out of retirement.
Yeah, I mean, it only helps solidify it a little bit. And I think Gronk plays that sort of village idiot role pretty well, where, you know, he's on, he's just kind of this big dummy that you think. But you talk to coaches, you talk to other players, and he's like a genius on the field, right? Like he just sees the field in a different way. And then obviously had that connection with Brady that put him in, but also a devastating blocker, right? Like not someone who's just that receiver type, but somebody who, when healthy, could do everything you want a tight end to be able to do. And tight end, I think, is one of the hardest positions on the field because you have to be basically an offensive lineman and a receiver, which takes a special person to be good at both. And he was amazing at both of those things. Obviously we all agree with that one as well, because I had you guys vote beforehand. So I know this. Now I get to make that decision, and I may make a decision here that you guys may disagree with. But I say, yes, there is another first ballot Hall of Famer. And to me, the next person for me, and I would have put Gronk in second. But for me, it's Richard Sherman. And I think that he is the key to one of the great defenses that we've seen in the last 20 years. I think that he played the position in a way that a lot of people didn't expect. He's long. It kind of it started a trend where people were trying to find that next Richard Sherman because of his body type and how he played the game. Three-time first team all pro, won a Super Bowl, very close to winning a second Super Bowl. To me, I think he did everything that he needed to do to separate himself as one of the great corners of all time. So for me, I would put Richard Sherman in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Paul, you are next. And you get to decide if there possibly be fourth first ballot Hall of Famer out of this group.
So the voters have never elected a class, at least not since the original inaugural class, with as many as four first ballot. And it's not going to happen today either, because I'm not going to pick a fourth.
You have done this every class so far. I did not set this up this way, but you have killed the first ballot Hall of Famer on all of these classes so far.
Well, you know, it has to be somebody. So then we're after just look at who else is still left in the pool that we've been carrying over from the last few years. And I'm going to go with a guy who has been already a multiple finalist by the voters, and a guy by 2027 is quickly running out of time as a modern candidate. So I'm kind of pulling from Jack's hat here, and I am going to elect Darren Woodson, safety for the Dallas Cowboys.
What makes Darren Woodson a Hall of Famer, Paul?
So arguably, beyond Charles Haley, I think he was the key defensive player on the three Super Bowl team of the Dallas Cowboys in the 1990s. Retired holding the career record for most tackles. He played for two Hall of Fame coaches in Bill Parcells and in Jimmy Johnson, who both have repeatedly said how key and valuable he was to that defense. He played linebacker in college. He was converted into safety. He doesn't have the interceptions because that was not his role. He was a coverage guy and a key part of that defense, and also very consistent in terms of the accolades and the performance, not only for those Super Bowl teams, but in the later half of his career. And I think well-deserving to be elected to the
Excellent. All right. So we are already at the fifth and final spot in this class. And so, Jack, the floor is yours to close out this particular class.
Yep. And I'm going with Richmond Webb. I knew that he's in his final in this year, 2027, he's in his final year in eligibility. In reality, we are now in the class of 2025, because the class of 2024 has been elected. So when we're thinking about this, we're in 2025. Richmond Webb has only three seasons left. He's never been a semifinalist. And that really even is kind of irrelevant, because what you need to be is a finalist in the room. This is someone who started his career with seven straight Pro Bowls. Those first three of which were when players voted. You know, we know what he did as a pass blocker for Dan Marino. And obviously, yes, Dan Marino, one of the greats of the great, and in particular, his quick release definitely makes it easier on tackles. But, you know, we know that Richmond Webb would be looking a lot better if we had access to a number of statistics for offensive linemen the way that we do for wide receivers. And now some of those stats are coming to light. And, you know, with Richmond Webb, the fact that he played Bruce Smith three times as a rookie. Bruce Smith was Defensive Player of the Year. He was second to Derek Thomas in sacks, and he didn't have a sack in three games, including a playoff loss against Richmond Webb. And Derek Thomas didn't have a sack on Richmond Webb that rookie year. He continued to go like that. There was a period in the middle of the 1990s where the two best tackles were Willie Rofe and Richmond Webb. Richmond Webb was all decade. He was all decade with Rofe, Gary Zimmerman, and Tony Boselli. Now, all decade doesn't always mean you were better than everyone who wasn't all decade. If you get caught between the, you know, Marshall Faulk wasn't all decade. He got caught between the decades. But having been there, I can say Richmond Webb, for a long period of time, when you thought about that position, you thought about left tackle at a time when Sports Illustrated called it the most important position in the National Football League. And it was drafted as such, and it was paid as such. And people can have whatever disagreements they want about whether that is the right way to look at it or if that's downgrading right tackles. I'm just saying, at a time when general managers, coaches, and the biggest press all said that left tackle mattered most, Richmond Webb was viewed as the best, or right around the best, for a long period of time. So Richmond Webb absolutely is someone who needs to be in. That's one where he's going to get to the senior pool in all reality, and people are going to, who don't pay attention, are going to be like, wait a second, Richmond Webb's not in the Hall of Fame?
Also, like, an all-time name. Like, right. It's just like Richmond Webb. Is it just, that's a great name. And it's a good name for a tackle. There's just like stature about it. Like, it's just one of my favorite names to say. Like, you say Richmond Webb, I'm like, that's a cool name. I like that name. Deserves to have a bust in the cannon for it. Jack, you're the fifth selection, so you get to bring out your senior candidate for this class. So who are you putting in from the senior pool?
Yeah, I'd say that Bears fans should know that one of the things that I'm most upset about is that arguably right now, My top available senior is a Green Bay Packer, and three of my top, like, 10, 5, I don't know, they're pretty high up there, are all Green Bay Packers. And they're all pass catchers, which is weird. And two of them ran for office against each other. But I'm not going to pick that one. I'm going to go with Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp is, again, if you were here for Sterling Sharp, there was Jerry Rice and there was Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp did not miss a game in his career until the flukiest injury ever, where he injured his neck and his career was over. The only games he missed were the two playoff games in the year that he got injured, because he went out in week 17. He got hurt in week 16, came back, played, re-injured week 17, and that was the end of his career. If he had played two more seasons, even if nothing else changed, which it would have, because a team with Sterling Sharp is better than a team without Sterling Sharp. But if he had played two more seasons, he would have been a Super Bowl champ. You know, Shannon wouldn't have had to give him his ring. Sterling would have had his own. He would have been, you know, I like gamed it out one time. He would have retired like top five in every major receiving category. To this day, it is, if you start, I think, in the mid 80s, the most all-pro first teams is Jerry Rice, and the second most is Sterling Sharp. No, that's not first team all-pros. I'm sorry. If you combine the top five finishes in receptions, receiving yards, and receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns, if you combine the top five finishes, Sterling Sharp is second only to Jerry Rice. And you're talking about guys who played way longer than him. I mean, he was drafted the same year as Michael Irvin and Tim Brown, and they needed like 4 or 5 years apiece to like catch the career numbers that Sterling Sharp had. So this is one that I started talking about this in 2019, I think, when he was toward the end of his eligibility. It's one the voters should have already looked at. Now we're seeing he's had some high finishes. Now that we have these finishes announced for the senior pool, he's had some high finishes. I hate to say that, you know, I'm going Pack, but I have to. Sterling Sharp all the way.
This is my least favorite Jack shtick. I will be quite honest with you. I've heard quite enough of this shtick, but no, not saying he's not deserving.
Wait till we start telling you about Vern Llewellyn, Jeff.
That's what I'm saying is we've got two Packers in as our senior votes so far. So hopefully Paul's not going to
wasn't doing that on purpose.
This is a Bears podcast. I'm just saying. All right, so we're gonna move over to the class of 2028. So again, all of the players that we have not selected to this point are going to be eligible. First year eligible candidates include a guy named J.J. Watt. Maybe somebody who might have a chance here. Other names that are at least interesting include Matt Ryan, A.J. Green, Devin McCourty, and Rodney Hudson. Jack, you get to kick off with pick two because everybody agrees that Tom Brady is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, this there
we
go.
Something that is not going to be much of a discussion. From what I understand, there was the argument for Brett Favre was that the person making the case said Brett Favre and rest his case. And
yeah, we call them stand up, sit down guys.
Yeah, right. I believe Tom Brady would be the ultimate stand up, sit down. Right.
So that is stand up, and you don't even say anything, and you sit.
You just say TB12. Maybe you don't even say his name. You just say TB12.
I think it'd be cold if you just stood up and stared every other voter dead in the eye.
You know who I'm representing
exactly, and sat back down. I want
all right,
to do that.
So Brady's in. Jack, is there another first ballot Hall of Famer here?
Stand up, J.J. Watt. Sit down.
Right. Exactly. Where does Watt stand for you as an all-time defensive player?
Right toward the top. And I mean, I think that the only things that are missing are maybe some longevity stats and a ring. In terms of peak seasons, the combination of numbers and the highlights, physically, the things that he was able to do. I mean, that's something that we didn't mention with Peppers, but Peppers has a freakish highlight reel, and J.J. Watt's is somehow maybe even better. I mean, for people who maybe weren't around or forget or short memories or whatever, I mean, he had that year where he was scoring defensively and in short yardage where everyone was just like, oh, this is the ultimate weapon. I think it was 2014 when Rodgers won one of his stupid MVPs, and Watt was just physically different, just different. Also, he could do it from multiple spots in the line. He could go inside. He could be a speed rusher outside. He could be a power rusher inside. He could block kicks. Obviously, playing through pain doesn't even begin to describe what J.J. Watt did. And someone who I think everyone was really rooting for to find a way to win a championship. So where does he rank in terms of defensive linemen? I mean, you've got Reggie and Aaron Donald, and Watt's pretty far up there. Mean Joe Green and Bruce Smith and Deacon Jones, and in a sense, like if LT played later, he'd be considered line-ish. In terms of pass rushers, like, and pure defensive linemen, he's right there. He can do everything. There's no one who you could pick in an all-time draft where, like, if you got J.J. Watt, you'd be like, oh, but he can't do what so-and-so. He can do everything. I mean, you're really talking about what's the best Jay-Z verse. Like,
what flavor of ice cream do you prefer?
What's your favorite flavor of chocolate ice cream? Yeah, exactly.
Right. Not everybody likes chocolate ice cream the most, but we'll open it up to the 31 flavors of Baskin-Robbins, right? All right, so Kirk, we'll go to you next. Is there another first ballot Hall of Famer, or are you pulling from the behind? Okay.
Who do you got? There's not. I'm going to go with someone who's eligible at this point just for a couple years, and we're putting in a place kicker, Adam Vinatieri. All-time, another 100th anniversary player, holds all the records he needs. He's got the rings. He did it for two different teams. It was incredible. And he's got the clutch moment. A kicker needs that clutch moment. Every special teamer needs everything you can get to build with that resume. I don't think that Adam Vinatieri is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think we all sort of agree on that, but it wouldn't surprise me if he is. I also think it's very important for him to sort of get in because, like Jack, you mentioned earlier, Shane Leckler. you're more confident than I am on him. I think that Lechler was fantastic, but I just worry that at no point is anyone ever going to look at Lechler and say, you know what, this I can't put him. Is he really a top five guy in all of this? Vinatieri, you can. And I think that's sort of important to maybe help someone like Lechler in the future. Also, even Justin Tucker, who right now I think might be the best kicker. It's more of a strategic process for myself, putting in Vinatieri, but I don't think anyone really would have a problem with him being entering in his first 5 years.
It's interesting, right? I mean, if there's going to be a kicker that's going to get early, it's going to be him because he has, like you said, those clutch moments. He was around for a very long time, played for a couple different franchises, and obviously did well with both. And I'm not a kicker expert, but the Hall of Fame has a few kickers in it, and it's going to have Adam Vinatieri in it at some point, right? And Tucker right. as well. Gostkowski, I don't know his. I mean, I know he kicked for the Patriots for a long time. To me, Tucker and Vinatieri have a little stronger case for me. But that's just not studying it and kicking it out. I'm next, and I got to tell you, I'm starting to get a little worried that we've been sitting here like Eli Manning. We haven't really had the Eli Manning conversation, but
that's because we're smart. we're four smart football people, and that is why that conversation has not occurred.
I just
it's a conversation none of us want to have.
I want to put it on the record though that we're talking about this would be fourth year of eligibility for Eli mm-hmm. Manning. This would be the third year of eligibility for Philip Rivers, and it would be the second year of eligibility for Ben Roethlisberger, right? So those guys that were drafted all in the same draft that are connected at the hip here may be at some point in the Hall of Fame process eligible at the same time. And I don't think it's crazy to think that there will be this interesting conversation mm-hmm. around quarterbacks. And to me, I think Roethlisberger has the top – billing, so to speak, from those three. But you're in a year where Brady's getting in. I know you can put two quarterbacks in, but I just don't love the idea of putting in another quarterback here. And in the previous class, we did not put him in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I'm just going to push the quarterbacks down the road. And I think this is how log jams happen, right? Because now, and again, I'm not saying Matt Ryan's a Hall of Famer, but now you're adding Matt Ryan into this mix and you've got four guys, you've got guys that won MVPs, you've got guys that won Super Bowls, guys that were around for a long time, very important to the league. Now you got four quarterbacks that are potentially on a ballot here moving forward that are interesting. So I wanted to at least talk about that and put that out there. And now I'm kind of flying.
I just want to clarify. I'm saying smart men in the sense of Eli Manning doesn't need to be talked about yet. I think Eli Manning absolutely has a Hall of Fame case, and I think it's one that's going to endure because the things that he accomplished, his big ticket items, will resonate and will continue to resonate. And I think that's totally great. And I think he absolutely deserves his shot in the room. And I think people who think he's a Hall of Famer, that's fine. I'm remarking on there probably will be listeners who will be surprised that in 4 years of this exercise, we haven't mentioned him. And I'm saying that's proper. I don't want to besmirch anyone who thinks that he belongs in or anything like that. I low-key want to besmirch anyone who thinks he needs to be in these first 4 years when the bar for first ballot quarterback is Tom Brady, Drew Brees. And these are guys who played in the same exact era, over a decade and a half together in the league.
Yeah. And I just love, to me, we're future projecting here. And I think that most of this is pretty reasonable. I mean, and there are probably some picks that you guys are kind of nerdy on that, like, I don't think are going to happen necessarily because I'm not sure it's maybe predictive of.
They're definitely not going to happen.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's some picks here that I don't think are predictive of what you guys think will happen. You have the power to put people in.
Yeah,
right?
We do. I think we can speak collectively. It'd all be half of our picks would be different, I think.
If we were predicting, I'm not predicting what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, but I don't think that it's unreasonable to think there is a path, there is a scenario where you see something like this, where you start to see a quarterback logjam just because of some of these other, like that 2027 class is so strong with first ballot guys that it's hard to not put some of these guys in, right?
Yeah, it really shows the challenge when you start, for example, in our case, with the carryovers from the 2024 semifinalist, and then each year you start adding first ballot eligible players. This is an exercise people should work through to see really how difficult it is, because you're going to keep building that group. It's going to be a strong 25. It's going to change every year as you elect and bring new guys in, and you can only pick five. And it's a tough process. And until people sit down and kind of go through this and realize, whoa, I forgot about so-and-so. I need to be thinking about him. He just got lost because every year we filled it with five and he just didn't quite. That's the nature of this process, how difficult it is.
Right. And look who we're leaving out. We're basically leaving out everyone who's between 5 and 15, with the exception of like Holt, because they left him on. And so here he is. But in terms of like, as we go through this process, we're pretty much going like first ballot or end of ballot.
Yeah.
Like if you're in the middle, we're kind of like, you can, I guess you can wait.
So as my pick here in this particular class, you know, I'm finding myself already struggling. Right. And so this is just kind of an interesting exercise for me, because I thought maybe some of these names would already be gone and I would maybe get to pick some of my favorites. Like I'm disappointed that somebody hasn't put in Reggie Wayne, because I'm not the biggest, like, he's not next on my receiver list and I would like to put in another receiver. And so I know that's maybe crazy, but I like Steve Smith better. And for me, I want to put in Steve Smith. I think he just had, you know, he did more with less, and he had some sort of remarkable years and some remarkable games. And it may just be scar tissue as a Bears fan.
But you have Reggie Wayne scar tissue too, though.
I have more. The Steve Smith one left more of a ding for me,
I think,
personally. Not necessarily because of the importance of the game, but because of just how much he burned the house down, right?
Yes.
And so, and I also just love watching Steve Smith play football, and that's part of this for me, is I want the guys that I remember that are non-Bears that I loved watching, and were great players. I want to see them rewarded with the Hall of Fame. So I'm actually going to probably again go off script here and do something that may not make sense to most people, but I'm going to leapfrog Reggie Wayne and I'm going to put Steve Smith in.
I don't think you're going to get an argument from this trio.
No, it's a good pick.
Paul, you get the fifth pick and then your senior pick.
Okay. So far, I mean, we've got a kicker, but otherwise it's a pretty heavy offensive class. We've got Watt, but still I'm tugging between two guys, and I hope I can get both of them in this class or the next one. And I keep looking back, you know what? And I'm going to fall back to what I said earlier with an earlier pick, and I'm going to go with a position that I think is largely underrepresented, and I'm going to pick Marshall Yata, the guard from Baltimore. The second time I've picked a all-decade team member at guard. From the 2010s. The other guy, of course, is Zach Martin, who's still playing, and he'll make the Hall of Fame, maybe even first ballot down the road. So that is my pick. I think a very solid pick. It makes checks all the boxes off, and again, we get a position tend to be underrepresented in the Hall of Fame.
So I love it, Paul, because that was the two guys I was choosing between. I would have put in Yanda had Smith already been in for some reason, but I was picking between those two. And in part because Iowa Hawkeye, and grew up a Hawkeye fan, but also because he was dominant from that inside position. But the year that he kicked out and played tackle, he was still an excellent player. And there are not a lot of interior offensive linemen that can kick out to play tackle at a high level, and he was one of them. Paul, you have a senior selection.
Yes, I do. And I can assure you it will not be a Green Bay Packer.
just went up 5 points in my book.
Thanks. And, you know, as Kurt and Jack know, I'm a big advocate for the pre-60, 1960 guys who've been ignored. And we already got one of them in. So I'm kind of leaning that way. But I'm also just going by a list that I built for many, many years. And since my number one was already pick, which then we elected Sterling Sharp. I'm going with San Francisco running back Roger Craig as my senior. I think among those dynasty teams, although he did not play in the first Super Bowl the Niners played in, but if you look at that decade, you know, you obviously think a lot about Joe Montana, a GOAT, Jerry Rice, a GOAT. But Roger Craig was a key part of that dynasty, multiple Super Bowls. You know, had that famous season with 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. He's a key cog, and otherwise, of course, there was another receiver in Taylor and some others. But an underrated player whose time, unfortunately, just did not get considered as a modern. So welcome to the Pro Football Hall of Fame for our class, Hugh Roger Craig.
I love it. Absolutely a guy that when Jack has said, wait, Roger Craig's not, you know, this guy's not in the Hall of Fame. That's one of my guys. When people say, you know, Roger Craig's not in the Hall. Wait, Roger Craig's not in the Hall of Fame? Why is Roger Craig not in the Hall of Fame, right? That's one of those names that you just think they got him in. So I love that.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're going to do the final year, and that is the 2029, the class of 2029. We just put in Tom Brady, J.J. Watt, Adam Vinatieri, Steve Smith Sr., Marshall Yanda, and Roger Craig as a senior candidate. Strong class, good class. We still got a ton of quarterbacks out there, if anybody's interested in that, for this 2029 class. First-year eligible candidates, not as strong as some of these other years. Jason Kelce is a name that will certainly be talked about and bandied about. It kind of falls off a little bit from there. Fletcher Cox is at least an interesting name. I don't know that he's going to garner any sort of first ballot consideration. I have a note of Matthew Slater, the special teamer. Obviously not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but given that we're talking about Devin Hester in the current class as a specialist, I just wonder, is there a world where Matthew Slater, Steve Tasker, like guys like this that excelled on special teams ever get any kind of consideration for something like this? So I'm just mentioning that just because I find the eligibility interesting for the timing of this. One name I did not mention that we are all putting in together as one of the greatest defensive players of all time. And that is Aaron Donald. The guy who should have been a Chicago Bear one pick away was clearly the pick that the Bears were going to take. General manager Phil Emery sat on his hands and just thought that he was going to be able to make that selection. It did not work out that way. The Rams added him to an already stacked defensive line, and he instantly jumped in and had a great early campaigns, followed by amazing middle of his career campaigns, followed by amazing end of career campaign.
Right.
It'd be just like you want to talk about just started as a peak and never slowed down. They were all peaks. Amazing player, kind of a one of one for me. One of my favorite players to ever watch of all time. Very easy selection to put in as a first ballot guy. Very strong anchor for a class. Paul, you get to decide if Jason Kelce is a first ballot Hall of Famer, because I don't think there's another guy that you can necessarily consider here.
So here again, it comes down to me whether I'm going to drop the hammer down and say no more. And I'm going to say there is no other first ballot.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
I think he's a very strong candidate. I think he's quite likely going to get in. But I just don't, for me, it doesn't, I mean, I think in his era, yes. He just doesn't seem, we talked earlier, right, about that, if there is such a thing as upper tier and consideration. He just doesn't kind of resonate, not, you know, just not as a first ballot. So I'm not going to select one, which gives me the pleasure to go back and look at our rather lengthy ballot. And I'm tempted by a couple guys, and I don't want to be a homer here, so I'm actually not going to like one of my guys. But I'm going to go to another position that we've talked about that I think has largely been underrepresented, but a well-deserving player, and that would be our safety from the Seattle Seahawks, Earl Thomas. Legion of Doom, again, a top receiver in his era, Super Bowl contender, major impact, seen as one of the best safeties in that decade. He came on our ballot in 2025, so he sat here for a few years. I think it's time we recognize and elect Earl Thomas to our Hall of Fame for the class of 2029.
I think another interesting element that we should remind listeners is that we're only picking five. In reality, if we were doing this, we'd be picking 25, and therefore some of these out of nowhere picks would be people who we would have selected as final semifinalists or finalists. And Earl Thomas is definitely someone who would have been on the ballot and then would have been elected if we were doing the extended thing.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Earl Thomas is going to make some semifinalist lists here in the coming years as he earns eligibility. So, it was my selection to put Richard Sherman in on the first ballot. So in this particular exercise, Sherman went in before Thomas, but certainly Thomas deserving. Again, you get one of those named groups, right? Like, the Fearsome Foursome, a couple of Hall of Famers in the Fearsome Foursome. You know, you get the Legion of Boom, a couple of those guys. It's going to be Sherman and Thomas who are going to earn that particular consideration here. So Jack, it is your last selection here of the night. You get to take the third member of the 2029 class. Who are you going with?
So I've got a lot of guys. And actually it's funny because when you picked Jared Allen, I was like, all right, someone will get Kevin Williams here pretty soon. And if not, I will. And I'm going to have to punt one more time on Kevin Williams, and we'll have to come back to him in 2030. Because I want to pick someone who I think represents the best of a position. It is something that wasn't a position, maybe a generation and a half ago, but it absolutely is a position, and that is Lorenzo Neal. Lorenzo Neal, I think, is one of those players where you can say whatever you want about the position of fullback. It is a position. I know that there are people we like and respect a lot who will say, well, even the best fullback isn't going to have that big of an impact. Fine, but he's doing it. He's doing the job. It is something that he has been tasked with. It has been something he has been paid to do. He has all-pro recognition. It is his position. I always look at Lorenzo Neal, and I think when Mike Allstott was running the ball, he was running behind Lorenzo Neal. If you are the fullback for freaking Mike Allstott, you are doing something real deal. He blocked for LaDainian Tomlinson as an MVP. He blocked for Eddie George when he was all pro and, you know, played in that Super Bowl. He blocked for Corey Dillon. I think the number was 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons, maybe, behind Lorenzo Neal. And I feel like I'm missing one big team. I think he also blocked for Adrian Morrell on the Jets when he had his 1,000-yard season. I think that Lorenzo Neal, every year you put him back there, you thought this is the position. He defined greatness. He had greatness. And in reality of this exercise, we have a long time to get to a lot of people. I do think we'll get to Kevin Williams. I do think we'll get to another center, Olin, Nalen, Saturday. Mangold, obviously, we haven't talked about yet. I do think we'll get to Reuben Brown. I would still want to see McNabb and McNair at least in the room. And I think all these things in the reality of this scenario could happen. But I do think Lorenzo Neal, best of the best. And I'm taking him also over Brian Mitchell, who's in his final year of eligibility here. Again, kind of like a Frank Gore thing, finished his career and probably still is second only to Jerry Rice in all-purpose yards, has the most combined return yards, and was scoring touchdowns throughout his career. That was another one of those names that Devin Hester obliterated, and someone who he passed in combined return touchdowns. That was Brian Mitchell. That's who Hester had to pass. So he'd be someone who I'd love to have. I would love for him to get a look, but yeah, Lorenzo Neal.
Fullback. We've got some fans that love fullback talk. So you at least made some people happy there. And, you know, when you think about who's the best fullback, you know, in the modern era, it's probably Neal, right? And unless you're going to go to today and maybe, you know, Kyle Juszczyk has, you know, because he's such a weapon out of the backfield, maybe he's starting to get some of that recognition there, and certainly paid very well as a fullback, more than what most fullbacks have been paid. So interesting choice. Love the shout out to fullbacks. Kirk, we're going to go for you for the fourth member of this class. Okay. Who you got? Where are you going?
Okay, we are going to be doubling up in Seattle, and we're doubling up in backs.
Here we go.
Yeah, I was very tempted to go with Earl Thomas myself. I was very tempted to go with Kevin Williams. I've been kicking around Big Ben because, you know, you're thinking about the glut that, as you said, Jeff. But I'm going full beast mode in honor of my new hometown of Seattle here. You talk about compiling, and then you look at overall numbers. Marshawn had less than 11,000 rushing yards, which to some people, like, what do you – well, Frank had 5,000 more, roughly. Okay. There was only one person for that period of time. If you're on the 2-yard line and you want a touchdown, who are you giving it to? You can pick anyone. You're picking Marshawn Lynch. He was that good for that long. So important to not just this community, but just to like power running. And it was beautiful to watch. And you talk about iconic moments in a Super Bowl. He might be best known for the iconic moment he didn't even get to have. When they didn't, everyone said, okay, well, they're going to go to Lynch to win the game. And they didn't. I think all of us, what we're watching, I think the entire countries, I guess, because I was watching from Canada, I throw that in there, thought like, okay, we all know what's going to happen. Do it. That's your best shot. They got too cute. Marshawn Lynch was a special player, a difference maker. I don't care that other people had more yards than him. He was the one who scared me. Frank Gore never scared me. Fred Taylor never scared me. Corey Dillon never scared me. Marshawn Lynch scared the crap out of me.
Let me ask you guys a question. Are voters going to view Marshawn as eliminating Sean Alexander? Because Sean Alexander has someone I've been really confused about. Where is Sean Alexander? 100 touchdowns is 100 touchdowns.
They've already eliminated him in their own minds.
In their own minds, right.
In theory, he should. That's the way it would be. But I think for – like, I'm on that train there with you. I mean, I'm bigger on Alexander than a lot of people too. I have him as more wanted running back, definitely higher than Fred Taylor. Nothing against Fred Taylor. But I don't know how he became the main back coming out of this. But he is.
I think it would surprise a lot of people, a lot of listeners right now. I think it would surprise them to hear that Fred Taylor is going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the next 3 years, 4 years.
Which looks like that.
I think that would be surprising to folks, and that is what it is looking like.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think he eliminates Sean Alexander. I think Sean Alexander has already been eliminated.
They've just done it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's sort of how it looks. I think right now that might sort of impact more than anyone Russell Wilson in a weird way, because Russell Wilson's time in Denver was not good, as we all know. It's almost like he Donovan McNabbed his way out of it.
Because you know, another guy on my list.
Well, I'm big on Donovan McNabb too, but like on the Notton Hall of Fame site, like we allow people to sort of like vote whether you want him in, not like four different groups. Donovan McNabb is one of the most hated players of the people that I've got ranked. I don't quite completely understand the anti-Donovan McNabb.
I don't get that at all.
But it's there. And so, like, the rankings that I do, like my personal rankings are way different than my site rankings because I have to factor in all that other stuff. But yeah, I guess to answer your question, I think they're not thinking about Alexander at all. Otherwise, he would have already been there.
So here's what is interesting is that I was trying to decide between Steve Smith and Marshall Yanda in the last class. And I ended up going with Steve Smith thinking I'll take Yanda in the next class, assuming no one takes him. And then Paul did end up taking Marshall Yanda. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, my next pick is Marshawn Lynch then. And now Kirk is taking Marshawn Lynch.
Sorry.
And so I was going to end with a bang, like, oh, Marshawn Lynch. I was going to make this case like, hey, he's got an iconic run. He's got the Super Bowl, like you just said, Kirk, like if everybody kind of agrees, like you just would have handed it to him, they would have won a second Super Bowl. Like, yeah, maybe you give a little time to Brady at the end there. Maybe he makes some magic happen, you know, because it's Brady. But like, I mean, everybody kind of knew. And even though people knew, you still expected him to be able to get in for six, right? Like it was just this. I understand the math of why they like gamed themselves into thinking that they needed to throw on second down. Like, I mean, I can get there from a football standpoint, but I also can't understand how you didn't just turn around and hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. Right. But the beast quake, like all that stuff, like I was ready to make the case and Kirk, you did it for me. Right. So now like, which part of this makes me feel good that like you guys are taking the guys that I have been considering. And now I'm left with this, like I'm in the last spot for this exercise. I think what I need to do is one thing, and what I would love to do is another thing. Jack has given me a wince. I think he thinks he knows where I'm going, which is probably true. I think I have to take a quarterback here because I think it would happen. But, Jack. So to me, I think you put in Big Ben here. He's got two rings. He was a very good quarterback for a long time.
And two assaults.
Yes, I understand, but as we all know, that's not necessarily considered when you're talking about the performance on the field, right? So I think that they're going to have four, maybe. I mean, I don't think Cam Newton's ever going to sniff the Hall of Fame, but you've got four quarterbacks that people are at least going to talk about at this point in this particular situation. If this played out, if it went all the way to 2029 and you still had Eli and Rivers and Big Ben and then Matt Ryan, who won an MVP and was very close to winning a Super Bowl.
I think Eli's very fortunate to have a year where he's going to be the only guy on there. I think his case is going to be that benefits him more than anybody else. If he was the fourth guy up, he'd be in a lot more trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I still think the two Super Bowls get him in eventually, right? But I think if in this scenario you have a quarterback logjam, the way that it starts to break is that I think Big Ben goes in first. Plus, it's from a storied franchise. So I think that's where it goes. You can make that case for Eli, I guess. But to me, I think Ben goes first. So I guess that's how I'm going to end it. I'm not very happy about it. I thought one of you guys would have made the case. But you also took a lot of my other players. I don't have a strong argument for, like, I love Vince Wilfork, but I don't know that I can make a strong argument for him. I love Rodney Harrison. I don't know that I can make the strongest argument for Rodney Harrison. I don't think he has some of those accolades that some of these other people do.
Jeff, can I change my last one?
Are we locked in? No, but you can tell me what you wanted to do.
Kevin, I think Kevin Williams. Yeah. I went back and forth, and I just think for the purposes of kind of putting a name into the conversation, I do want people thinking about Lorenzo Neal. I want them thinking about Kevin Williams as well. Kevin Williams is the guy who I'm most surprised right now, in reality, has not gotten to the semis. That doesn't make any sense. Five straight first-team All-Pros. I mean, I know – tell me how you felt, but as a Bears fan, the defensive lineman that scared me the most – was not Jared Allen. It was not Pat Williams. It was Kevin Williams.
No, it doesn't make any sense why he's not in. And so I think there's a defensive tackle bias, right? Or especially the big defensive tackles, more the nose guards, right? The guys that aren't necessarily racking up sacks. I think if penetrating three techniques a little different, but I think the guys that are just the walls, they're not necessarily getting the consideration. So you can't change your vote because that's not how it works here, but your vote is noted. I will end with my senior since I, you know, have put this off, and I
Antonio we talked about this. Freeman.
Oh man, you are so wrong. So there's a, I personally am going to play Homer here, and I'm going to put in Jay Hilgenberg. I do think there's an underrepresentation of centers. I think he has a really good case to be made. He has a lot of Pro Bowls. He has you know, a couple All Pros. And it was a really good offensive line. And Jimbo Covert obviously is represented here, but he would have been the second best offensive lineman on that line. The Bears were a dominant rushing team. And I know a lot of that's Peyton, but also Neil Anderson came in after that. You didn't really see a huge drop off with Neil. And so I think a lot of that is the pivot. I think the Bears have an incredibly strong center history. And it's unfortunate we haven't seen Hilgenberg or Kreutz be able to really solidify that in a lot of people's minds. But, you know, from the old days, the Bears have a couple Hall of Famers, and Bulldog Turner being, you know, the most famous of those. And I think that people need to remember Jay Hilgenberg. So I'm also winning on a Hawkeye, which is what it is. But that's how we're going to end things, is with Jay Hilgenberg, a Hawkeye and a Bear. I can't end that any better than that.
Should have been on already.
Should have been in already
a long time ago. Yep.
So that's our exercise here. I hope that was interesting for people. And I think if we would have mixed it up, or somebody makes one decision different, or if I would have maybe ordered the picks a little different, we would have gotten different classes, right? I think that these are hard things to do. We said at one point, if we were predicting what the Hall voters would do, we may get different classes. But I think it's an interesting exercise to kind of work through, because so many of these players deserve consideration. But as you start whittling things down and stacking careers against each other, certain things start to stick out above others. So I really appreciate everybody's time here and going through this and talking about Bears in the Hall of Fame. You know, I think this is if they wanted to paint Canton Navy and orange heading into the game and the ceremony, I don't think anybody would disagree. This is a really big year for the Bears. I'm really excited about being there with Jack to cover it. Are you gentlemen going to make the trip?
We are.
Yes, all right. So we'll get to meet you guys in person. We'll cover the Hall of Fame live and in person. And it's an exciting time to be a football fan. It's the biggest league in the country, and obliterates all of the ratings because all the eyeballs are on it. This is where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is, where they honor the best of the best. And the Bears get to add a couple more names to their already storied history this year. So Kirk, Paul, Jack, thank you so much for joining me and working through this.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode. I really appreciate it. Appreciate all the time from Kirk and Paul and Jack. We're going to be at the Hall of Fame game here, so hopefully we'll get some content out from there. But until next time, Bear Down.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.